Blog Talk Radio.
A man decides that the present is near. That's why he goes there for to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and flee.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Vibe Time with Jerry, not just on Blog Talk Radio, but also on Facebook Live. Unfortunately, I have to start my Facebook Live a little bit slower because, you know, the music, the copyrights, and all the other crap that Facebook likes to monitor and try to block your post on. So let me make a couple of adjustments. John Stevens is probably going to be running a little bit late tonight, which is okay. Because I can talk to a doorknob, that's what I told him. Anyway, all right, a couple of announcements. As y'all know, we have the Boo Bitch event coming up at the Cabin on 360. And we still have tickets for that event. I don't know how many tickets we got left, but we still have tickets for that particular event. That is going to be an overnighter at the Cabin. Hey, that's going to be an overnighter at the Cabin. The tickets are $60. This is for the Boo Bitch event. Tickets are $60. All proceeds go to Safe Harbor Shelter in Richmond. So, like I said, that's an overnighter. Doors open up at 2 o'clock. We are going to have a potluck dinner. We are going to have a guest speaker come there. From the shelter, and we're going to be just doing girl stuff. This is an all-ladies event. There's no men allowed except for Dennis Eslock. He's the only man that's going to be allowed with us that particular night. We have these beautiful gift baskets that have been sent to us by Holistic Wellness Blends out of California and Wicks and Glimmers out of Illinois. So those are companies hand-in-hand, but I'm going to be putting those together really soon, and I'm excited about that part of everything. So, like I said, this is an overnighter. We have people flying in. So it's going to be, yeah, Dennis will be fine. He can have his nails painted and blend in with us just perfectly. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, potluck dinner, guest speaker, girly things, you know, just doing a lot of things together. And we are going to be investigating. So that's going to be, like I said, a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast doing that. And then on the 14th of May at the Cabin on 360, because this is going to be at the Cabin on 360, but on the 14th of May at the Cabin on 360, there is going to be a benefit ghost hunt for Glenn Morgan in memory of Glenn Morgan, and all those proceedings, that's $40. Those tickets are $40, and all the proceeds are going to go to his family. So that's another event that's happening at the Cabin on 360. And then May 21st at the Cabin on 360, it's going to be Holly Mullins and Dallas Adams. Those tickets are $50. We're going to be doing an investigation there, but we're also going to be doing a seance, or Holly. I keep saying we. Holly is going to be doing a seance, and I think Dallas is going to be doing a seance with her. So that is going to be a really fun event also. So I look forward to going to that as well. And then, of course, y'all know David Flowers and I do the Manor House ghost tours / ghost hunting. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays at 9 o'clock. Tickets are $15. You have to call the activities desk, 757-220-1200, to get your ticket. So if you want to reserve your spot to do that. There's a lot of different events going on. As soon as John Stevens comes on, he'll be able to talk to you a little bit more about that. He is the founder of Virginia Paranormal Events, but he also has a website, www.virginiaparanormalevents.com, which, according to him, is a little bit more detailed than Virginia Paranormal Events because he tries to share everything as far as the upcoming events, but he also has a pretty detailed website. So let's see. Gosh, and that's pretty much it. I guess I'll be talking to the chat. Anybody got any questions while I'm waiting? Hello, Kimberly. Boo. I'm waiting for John Stevens. He's running just a tad bit late, so I keep having to switch back between Blog Talk and StreamYard to see when he's coming on, because if he stands me up, then I'm never dating him again, like he is so freaking fired if he stands me up on this mess. But I don't think he will. He just said he's going to run a few minutes late and to bear with him. So I'm bearing with him. I was just sharing the latest of events that were coming up at the Cabin on 360 with the Boo Bitch event, and then the Glenn Morgan event, and then the seance that Dallas and Holly are going to have. And let's see, I guess I can go over my lineup while I'm patiently waiting for John Stevens. Now, next week I have a young lady coming on, and her name is Tamara McMeachin. And she has never been on my show before, but she just does all kinds of really neat things. One of the neatest things that she does that I like is she reads tarot cards, and she's really good at it. So she's going to be coming on next week. She makes jewelry, but her jewelry is a little bit of a different caliber than, let's say, jewelry that Kimberly makes. Her jewelry is like it's crocheted. She crochets jewelry, if that makes sense, you know, little crocheted necklaces with the crystals in them. She does all kinds of stuff. She's super talented with things, but we've known each other since the kids were in elementary school. But we are going to be talking next week on Vibe Time with Jerry, so that's going to be a fun show, too, because since she's new and really nobody knows her, she doesn't really do a lot of paranormal stuff. She does more of the crystal healing, you know, jewelry, which is really cool. She made me one of my first bracelets that she had when I first met her. So she'll be coming on next week, and that's going to be really interesting to have her on my show. So should I just sit here in silence and wait for John Stevens? Should I fire him? I mean, I don't know what to do. If he's back here, here he is. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad I got on. I was trying to find the number I needed to call, and I'm in a place that doesn't have any internet connection, so it cost me a couple of minutes, but I'm glad you were able to fill the I wasn't there, so we can get started.
Yeah, I was about to panic. John Savage, you're fired, and David Flower said I need to deduct it out of your paycheck.
the few minutes is going to be deducted. That's right.
You're so funny. So I've talked about the events coming up on the Cabin on 360, you know, the events there, and then I talked about, of course, David Flowers' tour in Williamsburg. I've covered that, so let's get into events and see what we got.
Okay.
What do you got going on, John Stevens?
Well, we've got some things coming up this coming weekend.
Hi, Kenny.
There's the EnigmaCon is coming up at St. Albans. And I know in May we've got some, and y'all will forgive me because I'm going off the top of my head with some of these events. This Thursday night, there's the Haunted Tours out at Hanover Courthouse with Steve Dills running the tours out of the house there at Hanover Courthouse and that whole area. So really, last time I was out there, D.C. was there and a few others. And there's that event at the cabin, you're right, and then Plumeri Promotions has got an event coming up in Hopewell at the Beacon Theater. There's Sage Paracon going to be in May. A lot of events coming up in May. So that's good to see that we're kind of opening things back up again. And before long, we'll all be
Hello.
If I lose you, it's because I'm probably in a dead zone.
Okay.
So I don't know if you lost anything that I said. I went through an area where there's absolutely no cell service. So.
Gotcha. Where are you at?
In Deep Hanover. So I'll be in Mechanicsville shortly.
Gotcha.
So just trying to get back closer to home and stuff like that. So
right.
Anyway, but there are and you're right, the Virginia Paranormal Events.com website run by Jeff. He has done a great job with that, and it goes into a lot of detail about the events, but it also has a lot of other articles, interesting articles and things like that about all things paranormal, things like that. So, you know, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had an explosion on Virginia Paranormal Events. A lot of people have joined. It's just been really shocking that this huge wave of people have started to visit the, you know, not only the web page but the Facebook page, and that just means that all these events that are being promoted in the state of Virginia, they're getting a lot of notoriety. And like with, I expect to see a big uptick with the Manor House down in Williamsburg.
Yeah, we're hoping. Hello, Stephen Wand. I'm saying hi to people who are coming.
Yeah, and you've been helping out with that the last few weeks. It's kind of hard right now because we're in spring, but once summer gets there and that place starts really having the much larger events, I'm just curious if people... I always like to hear the good success stories of events. People have come up to me at events and said stuff like, you know, thank you for promoting our event. It sold out in a record amount of time, and which is really, really good.
Right.
So I'm hoping that more and more of that takes place. People will go and see some of these places that they may have heard me talk about or heard on the show or other shows that are in the state of Virginia that are now open and doing ghost tours or ghost investigations or paranormal events.
Right.
You know, I have a good friend of mine, and I always make the mistake of saying ghost tours or ghost events. And this guy does not believe in ghosts. He believes in the paranormal, but he does not believe in ghosts.
Gotcha.
And so I don't want to always assume that or try to tell people that it's that spirits or ghosts or whatever, because a lot of things that we've experienced or you may experience may not be ghosts involved. It could be just something we just don't understand that's causing it.
True. David Flowers said that he tells people about your Facebook page and website at the tours, which he does. We'll mention that. Somebody asks about the latest events, we'll just direct them to your page because we know that all the events or a good portion of the events are listed there.
Yeah, and I tell you, and I really appreciate that. It's it gets really.
I need a new shirt too, John Stevens.
Well, I'm glad you've come to the right person, so I'll get you a shirt.
That's right, because I have worn out mine and washed it to the point it's starting to crack, and I need a new shirt. I need a fresh. I have to look fresh when I promote Virginia paranormal events. Like, I can't be having a crack. I just can't.
Right. We're working on a new design and everything right now.
Nice. Fresh and moist. That's right,
like,
boy.
Be
snatching David Flowers' hat off.
Yeah.
He got the Virginia Paranormal Events hat. I got to be matching. Okay.
Yeah, I've got some hats too, so.
Well, shell them up or I'm telling Donna.
My sister doesn't even have a shirt or a hat, so feel
yeah,
blind.
Well, you know. What the hell you mean, Donna? I don't even have that. David Flowers said I can't have his hat. Brandon Johnson said that he also advertises Virginia Paranormal Events at his Haunted Nights events. So, I mean, we put it out there because we know that, yeah, Kimberly wants to know what kind of hats. It's John Flowers, Virginia Paranormal Events hat that, like, David Flowers and him have. I got a shirt, but it's cracking, so he's going to have to hook me up fresh.
Yeah, I can't wait for the new design and the new shirts to come out, hopefully later this summer. Maybe I'm trying to push for some different colors.
Really? I kind of liked how your stuff was, but, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. I always get a lot of compliments on it.
Well, you know, everybody has black, and I like some of the wilder colors. I mean, I like when people would come to an event and they've got maybe a aqua blue shirt promoting their paranormal page, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of really attractive. You know, that would look good. I look good in aqua.
Nice.
So.
Hi, Sunise.
Kimberly,
you went para-stalking with John, and all you got was a crummy shirt.
That's right. You know, I need more events to promote. I do promote some events, and sometimes I feel like people are seeing the same events promoted over and over and over again. And partly the reason behind that is when, let's say in a good month, you only have about 10 good, solid events going on in the state of Virginia.
Right.
And it's hard not to repeat that a few times a week, each one. So we just need more events to promote. And I only promote the events or the teams or the people that are involved if I feel comfortable that they are true to their word and they're not scamming somebody. So
right.
The time I get messages from people, they will instant message me saying, hey, can you promote this event?
Right.
And sometimes it looks legit, but I don't know the person. And
right.
I don't want to put it out there and become associated with anything that would be to try to take advantage of something. And
right. No, I mean, I fully understand. I never really noticed that about your page with it, like, repeating anything, or I've never really noticed that or paid attention to that. I just, you know, when something is posted or approved, hi, John Sullivan, how are you? You know, I've just never seen the repeat. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I tell you the other thing, other than events, that I really like to show is the evidence that people get, like Sully, when he has some good EVPs. I love putting those on the page to show people, hey, this is what they captured. Or, you know, Brandon will put something, this is an EVP we captured in St. Albans. And, yeah, I want to put that on there so that people will see some of the evidence that, you know, that they may have missed or something. They were maybe in at the event but didn't get it. So I like putting that kind of stuff on there. You're really good about putting your stuff that you've caught at, like, Manor House or something like that.
Yeah, we've caught some really
like
good
to,
things at the Manor House. We've got
right.
some really
and,
good
and,
things. We're going over some stuff now, and it just, you know, just like I explained yesterday, going in there, David's going to go get the tour list, you know, the people that are coming, and I'm in there by myself, which I don't mind. I'm not scared of being in there by myself. And I just, you know, I'm taking a picture of the chandelier because I told him that I will eventually. I know a little spirit is going to show up in one of those little doorways when I take a picture of the chandelier. You know how it reflects back.
Yes.
So I know eventually I'll catch something. Well, when I was up there taking the picture, I heard a man say, Jerry, just Jerry, you know, just flat out Jerry. And I thought it was him calling me over to go outside. I thought he wanted me to come outside, you know, the doors are, the main doors are at. And so I open up the door, and there's a little tourist standing there, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I'm just like, did you just call me? And he's like, no. You don't even know who the hell I am.
Right.
So I just, you know. And then two nights prior to that, at the other tour that we did, we're walking to the garden area, and it was a fairly large tour of people, and I hear a man in the body cam, not with my naked ear, to my body cam when I'm reviewing the footage, and I hear Jerry. It's just, it's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, so I haven't posted that one yet. We haven't talked about posted that particular one yet, because we were trying, I can't get it to do it on Audacity, but I hear it and he hears it. So I know I'm not hearing things, you know, or it, my body can't rub it up against something. It flat out said my name. So, but we have a couple pieces of good evidence that we are going over and we're, you know, deciding where that's going to go. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's
important for me to show people that maybe haven't been to events. And I always say this when we have show every month, that I try not to assume that people have ever done this and try to, because everybody starts off with something somewhere. Maybe it's a ghost tour. Maybe it's a ghost walk.
Right.
Maybe it's a history tour. Maybe, you know, eventually it turns into, hey, they're having an investigation. Well, I see that stuff on TV. That's what I'd like to do. And you finally sign up and do one. And like many of us, we get hooked. You know, it's fun going into some of these places at night that you never get a chance to go into, or, you know, maybe just during the day, or but you get to maybe have seen some evidence or experienced something. I have people tell me all the time, you know, they'll say, like, well, I've done these things, but I haven't experienced anything. I haven't seen any ghosts. And I'm like, well, you're like 99.9% of the people. Most people have never seen a ghost. Physically, a physical apparition.
Right.
Appear before them. So.
Well, I just think
let me play you this cool EVP, you know?
You got another EVP? Cool.
No, I'm just saying, let me play this EVP for you, and you were there, and did you hear anything with your ears? No.
Right.
But this is what we captured, so we didn't necessarily hear it with our ears. You assume nothing's happening, and then you go back and you hear it later. And that's why I like doing burst sessions and really quick ones, because you get the feedback. I'm talking about the instant proof that there is something that you can't maybe see with your eyes or hear with your ears.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that Dave goes over the tours on, you know, when he's talking about that with, you know, carrying a recorder, because there's so many times when we are, like, at the manor house and we're running a, you know, when you're giving the tour and you're demonstrating certain things and the equipment doesn't go off, and then people are like, you know, well, it must not be active. And then when we get home and we start to download and do the body cam, I'm just amazed on what we're getting, not just through the audio part of it, but through the video part of some things too that you miss with the naked eye, and you're picking it up on a body cam, and it's just like, you know, wow. But, you know, unfortunately, so many people watch the shows and they just expect those jump scares, and it's not like that. I've had several people on the tour ask me if the house, you know, that the tour that we're doing, is that, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it staged? And I'm like, no. If the light flickers, it flickers. If something gets smacked off of a counter, it gets smacked off of a counter. Or you know what I'm saying, a table. We don't stage anything that happens at the manor house, but I've had several people ask me that question, if it was staged.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to share with people, that, especially people that haven't done this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I have family members that are like this, where they feel like everywhere they go, that nothing happens.
Yeah, Donna.
Yeah, Donna will swear that things aren't active because she's there. So,
yeah.
You know, that happens all the time with people share things with me about, you know, whether they like doing paranormal investigations or not. You know, I always tell people that you will be surprised to capture
right
when you least expect it. And you can be carrying on a conversation with someone, joking around in a room, and you're not trying to interrogate what you think is a spirit in the room.
Yeah.
You're just kind of carrying on a conversation, and then next thing you know, this spirit or whatever it is interacting and wants to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, we get that a lot. John Sullivan says birth sessions are what we like to do with guests. Kimberly said that she used to place a Digi recorder on the ground by her van, and then she would leave it just sitting there outside when she would walk Old House Woods. John Sullivan, he's so funny, he said he had a guest one time at Belgrove ask where the remote to the flashlights were because they kept coming on and off. She thought that he was doing it.
Wow. John Harris and Lynn had a great show on the other night. You can go back and catch that on they're part of RVA Paranormal, and it was about recorders and which recorders do the best, and so they had several that they went over and what they're good at, and people want to always have something big and expensive, and they had some cheap ones and they had some expensive ones, and they went over differences and what some of them are good for, and overall how to capture EVPs. There was some really good knowledge. One of that is, I have a real expensive recorder, and it actually does too good of a job. I mean, it picks up everything, but it may not necessarily be best recorder for capturing keys. If it's something that your audible ear can hear, it's really good at catching that, but sometimes there are other recorders that may pick up something that's going wrong. Because the recorders they have out now that are really top of the line, they're really good at cleaning up. Sound, and that's not necessarily what you want to do when you're trying to capture EVPs. The DR60 that John carries, Selig, is not a very good recorder as far as it's not clear, but it captures things that other recorders don't. And
right.
And many times what it captures is very clear. But it would not be the type of recorder you'd want to go and record a talk or a lecture or something like that. You simply would not want to use that recorder. But when he's talking about doing a birth session and he uses that recorder, 9 times out of 10, we get something on every recording with that. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Brandon says that they sometimes it's the people who are new to investigating that usually get great evidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's other things, too. I mean, it can be pictures. It can be people taking stuff with cameras. You know, for the longest time, especially when you take a tour like DC's tour down in Leesburg,
mm-hmm.
and you're walking the streets, and he'll stop in front of a house and he'll talk about the history of the house and maybe some ghost stories about the house. And what's one of the things they always tell you to do is just take a bunch of pictures of the house. And many
right.
times you get faces in those windows and something that you can't explain staring back at you. And that's probably one of their greatest pieces of evidence, as they tell you to send them the pictures that you've taken, and because they that good evidence they can put on their website and show people, hey, here are some of the pictures that we've captured at some
right.
of these historical locations.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to do now. Before we post stuff, we go back and forth and get a third party involved instead of just like really putting things out there, because we want to triple check and make sure. I know I've seen a lot of posts in groups where some people have gotten like faces in the window, and they'll ask other people, have you seen this? And I can't think of the name of what it is right now. What starts with a P? David Flowers,
yeah.
What is it? Paradelia, is that the name of it?
Yes, that's it.
That's
right.
Yeah. So, and a certain person writes that down there, but I mean, it's true, you know. So it's, but yeah, I mean, your camera catches. Thank you, Paradelia. Thank you. Yeah, it's yeah. We've been talking a lot about cameras and EVP evidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm guilty of it. Early
Tell
on, before
too.
I was ever doing any investigations, but I would take a Williamsburg ghost tour. I'd be taking all these pictures, and I remember in front of the Peyton Randolph house, I swear I had captured a little kid's face in one of the windows. And every time I showed it to somebody, they would see something different.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's clearly a face. You don't see the face, you know, and they'd say, no, I see a cat, or I see a reflection of something. Maybe it's just and that was just me wanting to see it so bad. I did want to tell y'all about a good, and I don't know right now because I have not been in front of the computer in the last few hours. There is a good event going on this weekend down in Norfolk with Haunted Nights. They're at the Battleship Wisconsin, and the Raid Chasers are going to be there.
You're still
there
driving?
Were a few tickets.
John, were you still driving? You
yeah.
were you still driving?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was trying to look it up for you as you were driving to kind of.
I'm
that.
Still on the road.
No, you're fine.
I saw
the one that you were talking about. I was gonna get it for you. You're talking about the one with Brandon Johnson, the one that he posted. The USS Battleship Wisconsin is waiting for you.
Right.
That's going to be April 23rd in Norfolk. Do I got that one right? I'm sure Brandon will correct me if I'm
yes.
not correct.
They were
yeah,
getting tight on tickets.
Haunted,
I don't know
external.
If they still have any.
You know what? What do tickets start at? Is it 125? Do I have that right down here?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Brandon, if he's still on here, if the information I just said isn't correct, he'll correct me in the comments, and that's fine. We're down to down actually. As of Monday, they were down to 5 tickets, so I don't know if they're sold out or not.
Yeah, the Wisconsin is a great place to investigate. It's on my bucket list. The anytime you get to investigate with Chris and Mike from the they were on the TV show Haunted Towns and Haunted Live and several shows that are on. They just had a marathon of Haunted Towns about a week ago on the Travel Channel. And it's funny to go back and watch these shows. I was like, wow, it's been that long. I remember that season or something like that. They're really two good guys, and they are very personable, and they really make it all about the guests that come. Now, you've got to have a good place to investigate, which that checks that box, and then you need a good paranormal team that's putting it all together, and that's what Twisted Paranormal started Haunted Nights, to be able to do these events. And I've been able to be a part of some of those Haunted Night events, and I tell you, they're as good as it gets. The way they have it organized and the way they run things, and then the event locations, whether it be Dunlora up at Merrill or St. Albans earlier this year, and here we are at Wisconsin. So they've got Chris and Mike from Tennessee Rave Chasers going to be at several events later this year as well. I think going back to St. Albans and then, Henricus later on this year.
I still got to get out. That's where I need to be going. Henricus.
Is a great place, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I recently came across some more history that I didn't know about Henricus, and it just makes it even more exciting to know about what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're there, you can kind of like, it helps to know that I'm on hallowed ground, hallowed history ground. This is start of a country type of place.
Yeah.
It's rare in America.
We have it
in Virginia, and we take we tend to take it for granted. But Henricus is one of those places, one of those few places. Berkeley's one. We that have Indian, Revolutionary, Civil War, all happening on the same land.
So
there's a lot of history that has gone on in some of these places, and people just are not aware of all that going on. And so we're fortunate to be able to get on those properties and investigate at night. If someone here that is maybe has tuned in tonight is interested in something like that, they can, again, go to Virginia Paranormal Events. I'll point you in the right direction as far as where the events are, what they're, who all is involved with it, and what you can expect.
Right.
And you can actually go on some of these places. I never thought in the world I would be able to go to Berkeley at night, be able to to see that place at night, be on that property at night. And I'm telling you, it's just different at night. Henricus is different at night.
Yeah, I want to go to Henricus actually just to see that part itself, because I have never been there. When I go over the bridge, I see it, but I have never been there. And Dennis Eslock said, point him in the right direction. Please.
Yeah. You go down the steps, and then you say something as you enter the basement. That's all I'm going to tell Dennis. Just.
Well, you know, the show is not PG. None of my shows have ever been PG. So we all know what happens as Dennis goes down the steps at the basement at the Brick Rancher near the cabin on 360. We know what happens. He will say, hello, asshole. And Dobby will come back and say, fuck you. We know what I said. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So
coming
just,
down,
asshole. You know.
That's right. I have that on a EVP somewhere. I have to find it. I have all kinds of cabin EVPs, and I know damn good and well I have that one saved where he says, hello, asshole, and Dobby goes, fuck you.
Yep.
Clear cut.
It's nothing like entering a room and, let them know who's there.
Yep, let them know who's there. So yeah. But Henricus would be a good place to go, not even just necessarily at nighttime. You know, if they ever do anything out there, because I don't know, but just during the day would be a really neat place to just go see.
Yes.
Day trip.
So one of the things about going to places during the day is people always tell me, it's like, I want to see this place at night. I was like, well, you know, you will be surprised that if you take a recorder out to and we're fortunate enough around the Richmond area, we have a lot of battlefields and parks and things that are associated with the Civil War. And you can find many of them. You won't find anybody else around you. And you can do EVP sessions in the middle of the day. And you can do that, and you know, you may capture something. Also encourage people to take pictures during the day as well. I belong to a Gettysburg Facebook page that they post a lot of paranormal pictures that people have captured on the Gettysburg battlefield during the day, because you can't be on there at night. And so you're surprised. I mean, I'm just shocked sometimes at the pictures that people are able to capture of soldiers in the woods and things like that. And you're like, I didn't know that was there when I was there, you know?
I
encourage people to take pictures.
Take pictures. Yeah, Dennis said it's really cool to go and interact with the staff as they interpret the history. So that would be, you know, cool to do that. Yeah. I went to Newport News Park and got an EVP, and who would have thought Newport News Park, of all places? I mean, I know there's a lot of history there too, but I was just walking the trails, and I was like, oh, let me just pull my recorder out and see if I can get anything, and I was surprised that I did.
I'm almost more shocked when I don't get something. I was out at a battlefield last weekend, and it was a beautiful day, and it's off of Route 5, and I was part of the 7 days battle, and I was out there, and I decided to do an EVP session, and I was out there for 15 or 20 minutes, and I didn't capture anything that at least I know of on the first go around. But I was really shocked, because I thought for sure this is a perfect place. This is a perfect opportunity. I'm going to capture something. And I was really shocked that I didn't get anything, that I, at least I could
they
tell the first one.
They just you. You got to go back. Maybe they just, you know, was like, I mean, when you're looking at spirit world, I mean, as a living person, you know, are you going to, like, walk up to a total stranger and just start talking to them? I mean, I do, but, you know how people are. Yeah, spirit did. Dennis S. Locke said spirit didn't like you, John Stevens.
Yeah. Thought it was probably the wrong side, you know, like, you know, he's a Confederate or something like that, or... Now, that's when they usually cuss at you, but, you know,
maybe
we...
Your objects.
I've been to a cemetery at night, and I've captured something. And I've been to a cemetery during the day and captured something. But every time I go to a cemetery, whether it be day or night, doesn't mean I'm going to capture something.
Right.
So I'm... Like I said, I'm more shocked when I don't get something.
I think sometimes, and we talk about this about the Manor House, I think sometimes spirit, and probably at the Cabin on 362, sometimes spirit just don't freaking like people, and if you're associating yourself with that person, they're not going to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think people can have a lot of.
If I didn't like you when I was alive, why am I going to like you when I'm dead? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's a lot what you bring to the table, bring into the room. Are you?
Because you know everybody seems to know Dennis on the spirit realm as far as the different dimensions, and they ain't never met him. And I get EVPs on that all the time. And it cracks me up every time I get them. I even got it at the Manor House. I'm like, oh my gosh! And I have it. It's hilarious.
It's funny. I was with somebody who played me an EVP of a. It's a person like Dennis. They weren't there with us. And you hear in the recording, ask about that person, like, but they're not here, we're here. But the spirit wanted to talk about the person that wasn't there. They actually remembered them and wondered, and the response was, it was comical. It's like, why are they asking about them? Probably because they deal with them all the time, and now they're not here, and they want to know where they're at.
Yeah. David Flower said, maybe. Dennis is a ghost if we don't know it. True. Might be. He might be one of those solid form.
Yeah. You know.
We got about 6 minutes. Dennis said, oh, my God, you figured it out. We got about 6 minutes.
I wanted to go back to something I was talking about earlier about I never want people to think that the paranormal world is all about ghosts. And not getting off into Bigfoot or UFO, not tonight. But let's just all right. We'll just keep it to the investigating of ghost hunting or whatever you want to call it. And people really. There's some very intelligent people out there. They are able to think of things that I would never think of. I mean, I'm kind of simple. Like, when you play me an EVP of something and it's clearly a voice, is that voice from a spirit? There are a lot of people that don't think it's a spirit, but they have a good explanation of what they think it is, and I can't say that it's not. So I never want people to assume that when they go and they do capture an EVP that it's a spirit. It may or may not be. I'm not going to sit here and tell people that everything that they encounter is ghost or spirit related. Obviously, some of it is explainable. Some of it is you know, can be explained. But some things, I've heard enough theories that will make you go, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. There are people
yeah.
that study now the effect of time. You know, Einstein was smart enough to realize that time is not a straight linear line. It's waves. And those waves in some points are very close to each other, and they can be separated by 100 years or 1,000 years. But those waves are actually pretty close to each other. And what we think of as a dimension or a wall or whatever you want to call it, a veil, there are some people that actually believe that I've heard everything from, hey, it's somebody, it's you in the future coming back and talking to yourself, or it's you, or it's something, a person that's in their time is close to this time because the times are pretty close to each other. It's a lot of things that people have. We didn't have this just a few years ago. This is fairly new stuff that is coming out that we're learning about what we're capturing. And it's not just recordings and pictures.
Right.
We're talking right. about, we know that the human ear can only capture a very small section on the audible scale.
Right.
The best recorders in the world today capture a little bit more than what the human ear can. But still, nothing compared to the vast length of the
What's up, pondering
audio. So what's going on in those areas that no one can hear? There's
right.
a lot of stuff going on. And it's
That's
just
true.
The same thing with the eyes. The eyes can only see a very limited thing, and that can be by design. Perhaps God did not want us to see certain things, so He puts limits on what we can see.
Yeah.
But there are machines made by man that can see even more, and all different types of light spectrums. But then again, when you look at the large picture, the large spectrum. Even what man has created, the greatest things of being able to see, is not capturing everything.
That's
and
true.
And there are things that are not being seen on each end of the spectrum that are there,
yeah.
that are there
That's
physically
true.
Right beside us. So we can hear it, and we can see it sometimes in glimpses, and we capture glimpses of it. Is that what we're capturing? It may or may
yeah.
not be spirit. It may or may not be UFOs. Graham Hancock talks about taking DDT, and
yeah.
it really opened his eyes to what was going on around him. And a spirit guide, his father, led him and showed him things as Ed was dead, and showed him things in the room with him. He said that he did not know, and he said if we knew, it would our minds and our eyes and everything about us would short circuit. We would not be able to physically handle it.
Yeah,
brain would
yeah. We'll
shut
have
down
to talk about. Our... Yeah, we'll have to talk about that on one of our episodes together because I'm running out of airtime, but. That would be an interesting topic to talk about, what you're talking about now, because we've touched on lines like that before.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I just want to tell people that you're interested in coming to events, you can check out my page. I'll steer you in the right direction to events that are going all in Virginia. If you have some event that you want to promote, you can send it to me. I try to do my best to get around and meet everybody and try to, and I've met a lot of good people, and I want to tell you there's some really good events and people are really doing some great things for places that need a lot of help. So
yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there, and we'll talk again here in a few weeks about things that we've done and things that are coming up.
That works, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yep. Thank you again. Thanks to everybody.
Thanks.
I'll see you all.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan. Welcome back to the freaking awesome paranormal show. How are you doing? I'm out here in Richmond, Virginia, actually Mechanicsville, Virginia, just outside of Richmond. Drinking tea out of my Spirit Secrets of Virginia paranormal coffee mug here. I got some sleepy time tea, which really has the exact opposite effect on me. I'm usually pretty wired after I do the show, after drinking this stuff, so maybe it's all the sugar I add to the tea to make it drinkable. But Yeah, I mostly just drink this stuff because it's freaking freezing in here, and I need something to warm me up in. I don't think drinking coffee is the best idea, although maybe I should start drinking decaf at night. That might be a good idea. Yeah, last week we had an awesome show. We had the Paranormal Power Hour, which is actually 2 hours. Me, Jerry, and Holly Mullins had some really good conversations last week, talking about like chakras and spiritual meditation, a whole bunch of stuff. We really dive deep down into the, you know, trying to get more spiritual and trying to open yourself up spiritually and stuff like that. So we're trying to do this, we try to do those kinds of shows every 2 months. Our next one is going to be on June 14th. So, yeah, if you want to come in and join the conversation, we're just talking about spiritual stuff. Let's see. Holly and Jerry are very in tuned. They're mediums, and they do a lot of stuff with Reiki and chakras and stuff like that. So I am more acting more as a person who doesn't know what he's talking about type of deal, which really is not a far, like, from the truth. It is the truth. I really don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm asking all the dumb questions or asking the questions that I think people want to know. I guess I shouldn't say dumb questions, but just questions that that I think regular people like me would want to know about what they do and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a fun time. Plus, you know, Holly and I have been friends for a while. Jerry and I have been friends for a long time too. So it's just a bunch of friends talking about spiritual stuff, and yeah, it's a good time. Tonight, we are chatting about the EnigmaCon event we have coming up this weekend at St. Albans, just outside of Radford University. It's a paranormal convention that has been going on. I don't really know how many years it's been going on for. We'll find that out tonight on the show, but it's a fun event they have coming up at St. Albans. I went there with Angie 2018,2019, we went out there. We had a really good time. It was fun seeing everybody. And RJ was probably just under a year old because he turns, his birthday's in May and the event's in April. So, yeah, he's just about to turn a year old. So, and then, of course, COVID hit last year, and the next year we weren't able to go out there. But this year we will be there. We were going to set up a table out there, trying to travel with RJ, staying in a hotel, and you're doing all that. It's just probably a bit much to try to set up a table and be out there all day. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go out there, we're going to go hang out with everyone, and chill out for a second. We'll chill out for like an hour or two out there, and then see everyone. So we're super excited about that, seeing everybody. Angie's mom had some difficulties tonight, so she's gone, and so my daughter is watching RJ right now, so I might have to get up and tend to him during the show, but I'll have my phone with me. But if I get up and if I'm away from the camera, that's what's going on. So it should be interesting. So tonight we've got Alan May and Ronnie Anderson coming on the show to talk about the event. They're one of the people who are putting it on this weekend. I almost said co-founders. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I'm going to go ahead and put them on the show right now, and let's get this party started.
Hi, hello, Ryan. This is Alan.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. It's Ronnie here.
Welcome. So I did some research on you guys, and I couldn't find much out about, like, what kind of, like, paranormal experiences you guys have. So if you could introduce yourselves to everyone and let them know what's your background.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm not scared. Okay. I'll go first. Yeah, I'm Ronnie Anderson. I joined Bedford Paranormal back in 2010. I really wasn't into the paranormal, and you know, I've had some experiences throughout my younger adulthood that I would just kind of like blew off. You know, there was something to explain the stuff I was seeing around me. But then I moved into a house that stuff happened every day. So I happened to work with Alan at the time, and I knew Alan was the founder of Bedford Paranormal. So I kind of questioned him about what was going on, and he invited me to a meeting, and I was hooked ever since. So I've been a part of Bedford Paranormal for 12 years now and love every minute of it. Love all of our adventures. We've been all over the place. You can't find too much about us because we don't boast like a lot of other teams. We're in it for the research of the field, not to get our 15 minutes of fame. But, yeah, that's basically my little story made short.
Okay, this is Alan, and I've been interested in the paranormal since I was a child. I had a couple of experiences that happened to me that I couldn't explain. My family was Baptist, but they put us in Catholic school because the Catholic school would take you at a younger age than public school. So I think I got a well-rounded version of religion. And but back then, that was pre-internet, and if you had something paranormal happen to you, it was kind of frowned upon to talk about it a whole lot, at least at my house. And it just led me into trying to research things at libraries and things like that. And I did a lot of investigating on my own. And then I think it was late 2006, tried to get a group together, and so we did form the Bedford Paranormal. And our group's a little bit different than most. You won't see us list who the case manager is and who's the founder and all that kind of stuff. And we're all pretty much the same ranking. And also I think if you give yourself a title, I'm not sure how meaningful that is. So, but we all just pitch in and try to all do the research, all do the investigation and the reviews and things like that. And we got a great group of people. And that's one thing about the paranormal field. All the places we've traveled and been to, it really gives you a chance to meet people with different perspectives and outlooks on life, and I'm really glad we've done it. We do have a Bedford Paranormal page, but as Ronnie said, we don't put up a whole lot. We're not into the self-promotion thing. If anybody wants to come up and talk to us, we'll be glad to talk to you about most anything, but I'm probably not going to stand up on a soapbox and talk about me, so... But anyway, that's about it for me.
Well, I like the idea of not putting labels on the people or your group members, because then you feel like you're boxing, you almost feel like you're boxing yourself into like, you know, into a certain like position. Sure. So you know, if everyone works on each thing, then you're all growing as a team. Then as far as one person does history and then another person does this, if it's all shared responsibility, I think I like that better, a better way of doing things. Because you grow more as a team, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. We all share the same responsibilities and everything also. So it's not like, you know, any job you have dirty work. You don't make one person do all the dirty work, you know. Sitting around, you know, reviewing hours and hours and hours of stuff, we all do it together. It's not two or three people doing it and the other two or three coming in looking at it. It's what they found. We all do it together. Everything we do together. That's what I like about our team.
Plus
no drama.
Yeah, that's good. That's definitely good. You know, plus more eyes on, you know, what you're looking at and, you know, or what you're listening to, more ears. It's you're probably able to catch more stuff than it would be if it's just one person listening to it and going through evidence and stuff.
You're absolutely right.
You know, I would love to hear some more of your stories as far as some of your experiences later on. Maybe we'll be able to have you guys back on the show at a later date, and we'll talk about your experiences outside of St. Albans, because we'll probably go into that some tonight. But I know you said you don't like self-promotion, but, you know, it's also people come in and listen to the show to hear stories about the paranormal and stuff like that. So maybe you can schedule you guys to come on later on this summer and talk about, you know, your group and some of your experiences.
That would be great.
Perfect.
That sounds fun.
So let's talk about EnigmaCons, because that's what we're here. That's what everyone is tuning in for tonight. What is EnigmaCon? How did it get started?
Started as a benefit for St. Albans. You know, a building that with that age on it, and that it's a huge building for those who haven't been there. You're going to have maintenance issues where you need to work on the roof, or you may need to work on a wall, different things. So there's always some type of expense to keep it safe for everybody. I know many years ago, when the first time I went in there, there were some areas of the floor that I was a little nervous about. But, you know, Marcel's got a great work ethic. She keeps the building super safe for everybody. And but to do that, it does take some money to do. And so EnigmaCons was created as a way just to raise money. We don't keep any of the money at all. It goes directly to them. And I don't know if everybody listening has ever had a chance to go there or to meet Marcel. And if you haven't met Marcel, you owe it to yourself to sit down and talk to her for a while. She's a great person. She can tell you a lot about the history of the building and what I consider some residents that are still there. Yeah, we basically, I believe it was 2018, I think Angie and Alan put it all together the first year just to raise money for the building. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, but didn't the building sit dormant for a while, and they had a lot of vandalism and people tearing up the building? So basically we've been doing this for the past couple of years or so, 4 years, just trying to raise money to go directly to restoring the building and making it safe. It's a beautiful location. Nobody's ever been there. Like Alan said, you owe it to yourself to go there and experience it, and most definitely meet Marcel.
Yeah, I love going out to St. Albans, and it's been so long. I think the last time I was actually out there was the last EnigmaCon I went to back in 2019. And, you know, having RJ and stuff, it's been hard for us to get out to Radford. Plus, you know, the pandemic and all that stuff happening, it's, you know, to kind of throw a wrench in the plans and all everything. But you're right. If you have a chance to go out to St. Albans, even if it's just like to go and, you know, stay outside, take pictures, it's worth doing, because it's one of those things where you go across, you can travel down the road by the river, and you see the building. It's sitting over the river. It almost looks like a castle, like overlooking the new river. And it's got this like this ominous presence about it. When you arrive there, it's just an awesome feeling. Like, it's incredible. And once you get in there, like you said, Marcel is such a great person, and everyone who's out there putting this event on are such good people. Places like it's got a dark history, but it's also one of those places that you keep wanting to come back to. It's like, you know, once you go there once, you want to keep going back. At least for me, that's how I feel about it.
I feel the same way. And don't let the outside fool you. A lot of people look at it like, oh, the building's not that big. But once you get inside, it's a big maze of a building. And if you're not familiar with it, you definitely will get lost.
I can still get lost in the building. It's easy to get lost in, especially at night when you're, you know, when it's dark. But I get lost during the day too, so I get lost going. I get lost in my own bed sometimes, so I probably not the best person to talk about that. So St. Albans is such a great location. It's such a good cause, and you guys have such awesome speakers coming to the event. Can you talk about who we have coming out there this weekend?
Sure.
Yeah, we have. Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I'll just name off a few, and then you can name a few. First one comes to mind is Adam Bonnet, Glider is his nickname. He was a tour guide over at Trans-Allegheny for many years. He is handicapped in a wheelchair, and it doesn't slow him down in the least. We've had a lot of fun times with Adam. I think Ronnie got run over with his wheelchair one time, which is a funny story.
At St. Albans.
At St. Albans. And then we did it again at the hospital on College Hill, I believe. But he's great. I'll mention a couple more. John and Lynn Harris from Roanoke, not very far away. They have their own group. They travel around a little bit. They're going to be talking about different types of hauntings. And we really do make an effort to get speakers that are easily approachable. And so when you come there and you're trying to learn like a different technique or maybe learn a history about a place you haven't been to, these people are easy to talk to, and they'll share what they have with you. Do you want to name off a few, Ronnie? Or?
Yeah, we got Scott Sukel, who was a longtime tour guide at Old Ohio State Reformatory, and now he's moved on to collecting haunted objects. So he's going to be speaking about his collection of haunted objects and where he's at now. And then we have Miranda Young, the ghost biker. I don't know if anybody's heard of her. I'm pretty sure everybody has. She's doing a big thing in Tennessee with an old jail there.
Yes, she is. And she has a YouTube channel as well.
Yep. And you're okay. She's going to be doing her time behind bars. I guess it's going to deal with the old county jail that she's associated with now. And she's a great person, very approachable, very sweet. But she is a biker girl, and she is a ghost hunter. So I would say most definitely go talk to her.
Okay. And also we have Copperhead. I'm sure pretty much everyone knows him. He's very famous, been on television quite a bit. But he never let that change him. He's a super guy. You can go up and talk about anything. Doesn't have paranormal. I think the last thing he told me about, he was trying to restore an older truck. Just an all-around great guy. He's his subject's going to be shadow people. And he's going to give you all his thoughts on that.
He was also affiliated with Trans-Allegheny also.
Yes, he was. And he was kind of the, I don't know if you want to say figurehead, he was kind of the public face for quite a while at Trans-Allegheny. And then it came time just to try something new. So now he's doing other things. And but if you get a chance to talk to Copperhead, definitely stop by and just say hello to him. And then we have also Pat O'Keefe. You could do a whole show just on Pat. She's not only very intelligent, but she's also just a good person. We've done investigations with her in other states and different places, and just a high-quality person. She's going to be talking about psychic detectives, and she does some of that herself. And Pat's really into everything. She's an excellent photographer. What else could you say about Pat, Ronnie?
She's also wrote a book about St. Albans. She's wrote multiple books.
Yes.
And she was a writer for a paranormal magazine at one time. But she is retired now, and she's doing more of her psychic readings and writing still. And we're trying to get her to write another book about St. Albans, like a sequel. But
sure. I mean, there are plenty of stories, I'm sure, that would probably fill up two or three more books. I actually have her first book that she wrote about St. Albans, and it's really good. It's one of those books where once you start, it's such an easy read. You can probably read it in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she writes in a style where she's not trying to impress you with what kind of vocabulary she has. She's just telling the story in an easy flowing manner, and just makes it good thing about it.
It really does. I've had her on the show a couple of times. I'll apologize. My girlfriend, or Angie, is out. Her mom is having some issues. So I am dealing with my son at the same time, so I'm fixing him food while I am talking to you guys. So if you hear stuff in the background, if you don't see me on my live stream, I'm in the kitchen right now getting stuff for him to eat. But, yeah, I've had Pat on the show a few times. Actually, it reminds me to have her back on the show again here soon. Because she's always a fun conversation. And you're right, cool. Ron and Lynn Harris are very good people. They're actually from around where I live in Richmond. They come out to the cabin on 360 with us. So they're, like you said, they're very knowledgeable and very approachable. Oh, I think it's in the car. So yeah, these have some great speakers coming out.
Oh yeah, and we also
Alan,
have.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Go ahead.
I'm not trying to interrupt. I was going to get you to say something about Rhonda, because I have not actually met Rhonda before.
Yes, you have.
I have?
Yes. She owns the Nickerson Snead House.
Oh, yes, I have.
Another
I
great place
right
to
now.
Investigate. It's in kind of a rural area. I think there's a truck stop nearby and a... That's about it. It's right off of 81. But the house that she owns is a very interesting house. We actually recorded what sounded like a young girl laughing upstairs in the back bedroom. So that was a neat one. And nobody heard it at the time, but it was clear later on. I don't think Rhonda's going to be able to make it. I think her... she has a family member that's having some surgery or something. And so I don't think Rhonda will be there, but Pat will be. And we also have the, I call them the two life of the parties, Misty and Ashley Connor. They're going to be talking about Regina Hall. And they're Misty and Ashley Connor are sisters that they do tarot readings. They do a little bit of investigations. They kind of cover the gambit. But they're also just natural born comedians. If you've ever watched their Facebook lives, it's you won't be bored watching their Facebook lives. They're a barrel of laughs. But yeah, they're going to talk about the Regina Hall mystery. For a while, some people felt like there was a connection between her and St. Albans. And I'll let it be up to you whether you feel like that's true or not.
Yeah, yes. Connor sisters are a lot of fun. We've had them on the show a couple of times. Yeah, they are right. If you check out their TikTok, they're also pretty pretty funny as well.
Oh yeah. We have Alan Marston. He's going to be speaking on talking boards, Ouija boards, and Alan's a super great guy. Have you ever met Alan?
Yes, I have. Actually, the person I met was at St. Albans.
Yes, super knowledgeable, very, very professional in what he does. I believe he's a captain for a fire department here in Lynchburg. But
yes,
you never can go wrong with Alan. He's a super nice guy. We've been on a ton of investigations with him, and every time we get the opportunity to hang out with him and investigate or just hang out, you know, he's a super nice guy, very smart.
And also in the past, I think he has made a few talking boards of his own. And
he did.
Go ahead, Ron.
He did. I was just confirming what you were saying.
I need to get one of those talking boards that Alan Marston's made. He does a really good job.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
I'm looking forward to his opinion on them and compared to my opinion. We have Matt Haas and Josie Haas. They're from New York. They were once part of Long Island Paranormal, but I believe they broke off and they've made their own thing. And they've covered pretty much everywhere up north. And I think he's been really into the Amityville house and the legend behind it. And he's done a ton of research on it. And he also has a podcast called Strange Oddities that he does every Thursday night. He has some interesting guests on there. He's had Miss Perro from, I guess she was one of the young children from the Conjuring House. He's had a ton of very interesting, you know, podcasts. They're going to be doing the Amityville, the legends behind the Amityville house. And I'm interested in that because I have split feelings about that too. So I'm very looking forward to that. We have Steve Dills, who is covering another very interesting subject that I'm into, and that's the Skinwalker Ranch. Steve, he's a part of Transcending Paranormal. And I'm sure everybody that listens and everybody knows Steve. He's a super nice, smart guy, man. I'm so happy that I met him. I have had a chance to meet him and hang out with him and investigate with him. His team does things like very similar to our team. And I think Alan Marston has just joined Transcending also. So he's a part of that team. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Steve. I'm just hanging out with him and investigating with him again. If we
Steve's
get a chance.
Got a quick wit.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. He's fun to investigate with. I've done it a few times around here. It's at Hanover Tavern and Henricus Park and the cabin on 360. He's awesome. A great person to investigate with.
Yeah, like I said, I'm glad I've had a chance to meet him in the last couple of years.
Also have Jeff Santos coming.
Jeff Santos, yes.
Jeff Santos, yes. He's a veteran from the U.S. Air Force. He founded, I believe it's called Virginia Paranormal Investigations, VPI, in 2008. And I believe this is his first time to St. Albans. And I've talked to him a lot on the computer, but I haven't actually had a chance to meet him yet. Sounds like a super great guy. And he's Linda Quesada joined his group in 2014. And they're going to be discussing demonology. And do you want to take over, Ronnie?
Sure. I'm sure a lot of people remember Carl Johnson. Excuse me. He was a member of the TAPS, the original Ghost Hunters. He was a demonologist, him and his brother Keith. And he's kind of broke off, and they're still doing the demonology thing, but he's doing it with James Anito. I don't know if you've ever met James, but he's a super smart guy, very knowledgeable also. And they're going to be doing demonology also. And I had the pleasure of doing a podcast with those two guys at one point, and they just blew my mind with their knowledge. And I think I have a few questions for them. I hope they can answer or shed light on.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to meet Carl Johnson one time at a conference in Pennsylvania. It's probably been like maybe 13 years ago or something. It was back when Paranormal State was getting ready to come out, and they were having a conference there. And like you say, he's very approachable, very smart. And I think he's going to be an excellent speaker.
They all will be excellent speakers.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Well, and we purposely try to choose people that are, one, they're not standoffish. They will talk to the general public. And also people that are drama-free and just smart. And so I'm really excited about the lineup we've got. I can't say that we could have done a better job on that. We got really lucky that these people were willing to come.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun time for everyone out there. This is my son. Say hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, RJ.
Hello.
Hi. He will not be there. But he will be in Radford with me this weekend. He'll be there in spirit.
There's Halloween in me?
No, not spirit Halloween. I think every person you have listed there is very, like you said, very approachable. I know a few of them, some better than others, but each person I know is very nice and very, very knowledgeable. And like you said, if you have a question,
Dad.
I love you too. You have a question, a very, very approachable and stuff. And each thing they're going to talk about is very interesting as well. So no matter when you show up, you decide to go all day, or if you decide to show up just for a few hours, each person who's speaking is definitely worth listening to. Plus, you get there's also investigation at the end of the night too, if I'm not mistaken.
There sure is.
And yes, there is.
Would you like to talk about the building at all?
Yeah, let's talk about some of your experiences out at St. Albans. Like, what was your first experience like out there?
My first experience. Well, go ahead, Alan. You go first.
No, go for it.
You're the boss.
I'm not anybody's boss.
I know.
But no, I was lucky enough years ago, actually it was before Marcel took it over. A guy I know just got permission to go there. He got written permission and got keys to the building. And it was not a safe building at that time. It was, we walked through there and you could see where people were doing drugs in there, and there were some shell casings everywhere. And we did see some shadow people that night. To be honest with you, I was more worried about the people coming back than I was about anything paranormal. But
worried about the living and not the dead.
Yeah. But Marcel got in there, and she really cleaned the place up and got the floors safe and got everything under control. And there's different areas, and the bowling alley is a favorite of a lot of people. And I think the building changes over time. I think the last few times we've been there, the King Center has probably been one of the more active areas. But when I've been in there with just a few people, or either alone just sweeping the floors and clean, setting up chairs, you'll hear people walking around. And sometimes you
heard
hear conversations.
You heard female conversations, what was it, Friday night last night?
Yes, I did. And I couldn't make out what was being said, and it wasn't, I don't think they were talking to me. It sounded like they were just talking to each other. And that was down near the what used to be a cafeteria. But we've heard two ladies talking before in the area that's used to be kind of a beautician's area. And I have not seen some of the more scarier things that people have reported, except for once. But that's Ronnie's story, and I might let him tell his experience in the King Center.
Yeah. I've been going to the building, I guess, for the past 10, 12 years. And like Alan said, the building has changed a lot from the first time I went in to the last time I went in. Usually, like Alan said, everybody runs to the bowling alley. You can watch any TV show, the bowling alley, or either suicide bathroom, which the suicide bathroom, I think me and Steve Dills were up in that area at one point last April, and we heard a growl, and we both heard it. And that was the first time I heard a growl. My first experience was a long, dark hallway. And there was witnesses. Angie was there, and Noah was there, and I believe Lisa was there. There was very little light emitting from the other end of the hallway, and we seen what looked like a creeper. It was probably 2 to 3 feet tall. It walked like a spider, and it went up on the wall and went into the shadow. I think that was my first experience, but I've seen shadow people, and it's been in the more recognized places. But like Alan said again, the King Center over the past couple years, due to, you know, we're thinking maybe COVID and nobody being in the building, things are surfacing in different areas. But we were doing an EVP session in the King Center at one point. What was it? It's probably 2 years ago, wasn't it, Alan?
Yes. Up on the, I consider it the second floor, the floor up from the grand staircase.
Well, we were doing an EVP session, and we were just sitting in the lobby next to the elevators, and I was sitting in the floor, and the only way I can explain it was it's like time stopped, and I'm sitting there, and I can hear everybody, you know, involved in the session, but they were muffled. And then I seen this dark shadow
like come up from behind me and start cloaking over me. And I was drained. I had no energy. I couldn't talk. I could only see through a little window of this cloak, and I could hear Alan asking me, was I okay? But I really couldn't answer him. And that's just what I know about it. Alan Mike can put his perspective into it, but out of all these years in the field, I've never had anything happen to me like that. And I've been to the Myrtles, to West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, Ohio State. I've been all over the place, but never had an experience like that before. But it was very strange, and it took me about 3 days to collect myself to get back to normal. And I just, and still to this day, when I go to that area, I don't know if it's targeting me for whatever reason, but I feel different than I do in any other day of the week anywhere else. So it's kind of strange, and that just happened recently. I'd been going there for 10 years prior, and I stayed away from the King Center because I could never get any good evidence. But now I spend a lot of time up there trying to figure out what it is. Alan can put his perspective into it if he wants.
Sure. We were coming down the hallway on the way to it, and Noah was listening live with his earbuds, and he asked the question of, what room are you in? And he heard a voice reply, your room, which makes me think it either has the entity either had a sense of humor or they were trying to intimidate him. So right there, we, as Ronnie said, we were near the intersection of the hallways where the elevator is, and I sat on the couch, and Ronnie was in the floor, and it appeared to be almost like a little black mist. I looked over there, and it was covering kind of his shoulders and his head, and I asked him a couple times if he was okay, and I know this sounds kind of bizarre, but it looked like almost like he was vibrating. His head was shaking, not a whole lot, but very fast. And so Noah and I both cut the lights on him, and it seemed to disappear as soon as we cut the lights on. And but as Ronnie said, he looked like somebody that had been partying for 3 or 4 days. He looked completely drained. And so we kind of called it a night soon after that. But he still looked rough the next day. And but I had never seen anything like that before. And it didn't really have a form. It was just kind of like a fog over him.
Wow.
And I could see it, like over my shoulders, and it was like a cloak trying to, you know, cover me totally, but it didn't. I could see through it like a little window of it. But I can't, I was never experienced anything like that before, and it was kind of strange. And like I said, it took me at least 3 days to get back to normal. But I'm steadily still going there trying to figure out what it was and why it targets me.
Yeah, I think a place like that, it's so big, and so there's so many different opportunities for spirits to present themselves in different ways to people that we won't know for sure, like, you know, who's experienced what, and like if there's somebody else who had the same experiences. So many people have so many different kinds of experiences out there. It would be interesting to see if anyone else has experienced the same thing in there. I know there are people, there are certain like certain entities out there that people look for, like the red-eyed person in the bowling alley or that area, or the guy at the end of in the boiler room. Where they, you know, people leave cigarettes for, but I wonder if anyone else has had that experience out there. like you said, there's so many people that go out there, and so many, it's such a massive location that, you know, that it could be, it could have happened to somebody else, you know?
Exactly. Well, I believe Angie is uncovering some new information and new stuff about the history of it too. And she kind of explained the story to us, and I'm not going to explain the story because I don't know what's true and what's not. And I don't want to put any ideas out there for anybody, but some of it is correlating with what happened to me. But still, I want my own evidence and my own proof. So I'm still researching that little part of the building. I will say that one of the most interesting pieces of evidence we have is we were in, is it Jacob's room or Donald's room, Alan? Was it Jacob's?
I believe
is that what they call that room?
Well, I think they call it Jacob's room, but I think it's up for debate whether that was really his room or not.
Yeah,
we went in the story. Go ahead.
We went in there and did an EVP session at one point, and when we finished up and were leaving the room, I said, "Thank you, Jacob, for letting us share your toys in your room." And I had a small child's voice EVP say, "You're welcome."
Oh, that's awesome.
That's probably one of the best pieces of evidence I've gotten from there.
Yeah, I was in the suicide hallway with Twisted Paranormal a few years ago, and I captured on EVP what sounds like a little baby voice coming through in the suicide hallway. And people, anybody who knows the history of that location, would know the significance of the fact that you hear a baby's little, like a baby's voice coming through on EVP. That's the place where the patient killed
Rebecca.
Herself. And, yes, kept her the baby in the jar, in her closet.
Yes. Yes.
It was actually,
it's a very sad story.
It is, and it's very. It's very sad, and it makes me wonder because we were doing had an event out there. We're doing an EVP session in her room, and I captured a female voice saying, "We attack you," coming through my recorder. I'm not sure what that means or like if there was something in her room or in that area that was paranormal at the time.
Like provoking her to do what she did.
Exactly.
Well, that's the first thing I thought about when Steve and I heard that growl. What would a growl be doing there? What's up there to growl? And that was my first thought was, the Rebecca story. And, what persuaded her to do that? Was she really depressed about the child, or was she provoked to do it?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely worth looking into because as far as there's a lot more history than what we know
and,
for sure. A lot of darkness, a lot of emotion in the whole building.
All we know is what was written in urban legend. So we were not there. So, there's a lot more to be told.
Exactly. But we are getting close to the end of the show, and it's been an awesome time chatting with you guys about the event. And if there's anything else you want to talk about as far as the event is concerned, I want to give you guys the floor and just say whatever you guys want to say.
Sure. The building itself is worth saving and learning about. It did start out as a boys' school, and there's a lot of urban legends about you know, boys being mistreated there, whether they were or not, I don't know, because it's hard to find anything written down about that. The school was so good in athletics that a lot of the schools in that part of Virginia refused to even play against them. And then in the early 1900s, it was bought by a doctor, and he turned it into a hospital, which that part of the history I think we're all a little bit more familiar of. But if you come out, I hope everyone has a great time. You're allowed to investigate after all the speakers. It's 8 p.m. to 1 a.m.
It usually goes longer, too.
It does. And we, our group, we're always trying different methods. We might play music. We might try to act out a scene from, you know, whether it's a hospital or a prison, just different things to try to see if we can get some interaction. But we don't provoke anything, and we don't try to – we look at it as they live there, I guess, and you're at their house, and we're not going to go in and upset people just to get an EVP or something. And come out and have a great time. It's also a safe place. We pretty much, if you – you know, as long as you present yourself in a nice way, it doesn't matter to us what you believe in or whatever. We do ask that there's no drama because we want everyone to have a good time and interact and learn from each other. And what do you think, Ronnie?
I just want to thank everybody out there listening that is participating in this event. Thank everyone for, you know, buying a ticket or coming out, or vendors, speakers, thank everybody. And thank you, Ryan, for giving us the opportunity to come on here and talk a little bit about it. I would love to come back on at some point, like you said, and talk about our whole resume, if you want. We could do that for a couple of hours.
Yeah, I would love to have you guys back on the show. Well, I'll talk to you guys about it, probably have you guys come back on in July. That's when we have our next available dates. But yeah. I look forward to seeing you guys this weekend. Like I said, Agent, we were going to have a table out there, but it's just going to be too much to try to do that and be out there all day. So we're just going to come out there, hang out, see everyone, you know, talk, chat, have a good time, and looking forward to the event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Right. Thanks a lot, Brian.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
I will see you guys on Saturday at St. Albans, and yeah, it'll be fun, man. Thanks again for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, have a good one. Good night. See you soon.
You too, my man.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, well, that was fun. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone at St. Albans and seeing Alan and Ronnie and Angie, all my friends out there. It's going to be fun times this weekend. Next week we have Night Visions, Wendy Young, and Eric Joseph Haas coming on the show. Tune in next week. Same freaking awesome time, same freaking awesome channel. Good night.